And welcome, Henshin, back to another exciting episode of the Deadly Podcast of Kung Fu, brought to you by the Villains Man, myself, JVD, as I attempt to traverse the continuity of Marvel's most prolific martial artist in Iron Fist and Shang-Chi. If you want to follow the podcast over on Twitter, you can do so at Deadly Kung Fu Pod. And if you want to follow me, JVD, and talk about it, whatever you want to feel like between wrestling, sports, comics, whatever you name it, you can follow me at Villains Demand. Now today we are wrapping up Iron Fist's tenure in Marvel Premiere with issues 24 and 25. He had just wrapped up a one-shot and a six-part story over in Deadly Hands of Kung Fu. And after this, he gets his own solo series that's going to run 15 issues, still continued by Chris Claremont. Now we're going to go ahead and jump into the first issue, which is number 24, titled Summer Kill. This issue opens up with a sparring match between Colleen and Danny, which he does not enjoy. During the session, he keeps holding back due to the fact that he hates fighting a female. After her feints and goading, he finally lets loose, defeating her with submission, only to storm off in frustration. In another part of New York City, we see an armed man break into a SHIELD facility to awaken the monstroid known as Balox. They give the killer robot orders to kill the Princess Azir so their master can take the throne of Helwan. The next day, while walking through the park, Danny comes across the first annual Sheep Meadow Softball Championship, where Lieutenant Scarf just happens to be playing on one of the teams. After joining the game in a few innings of fun, Raphael notices something in the sky where Princess Azir just happens to be in attendance. He and the rest of the officers begin to attack Balox as he lands and goes after the princess. Knowing he needs to do something, Danny dons on his suit and attacks the monstroid, doing everything he can to disable it. Once the destruction becomes too great, he's forced to use his iron fist and shatter its head. Though he saved Princess Azir from the threat, the price of the wounded and the dead are too high. Looking from a loft high above the New York City streets, man known as Master Khan watches the battle unfold. Knowing that Iron Fist will oppose him in the assassination of Princess Azir, he orders intel to be gathered for every single thing Iron Fist cares about to gain an advantage against him. So I'm going to go ahead and dive into some real quick notes here about this issue. There's not a whole lot here. It's just a setup for what's to come in the next issue and then the solo run of Iron Fist. We do see a little bit more about the Society of Kung Lung and how women are represented in the city. Obviously, we know that women are not allowed to train, but we do learn that the penalty for striking a woman is exile in the Darklands, and Danny acts like that's a really big deal, like you do not want to go into these Darklands. So hopefully as we get more lore of Iron Fist, we'll discover what the Darklands actually are outside of Kung Lung. At the softball game that Danny's playing, the team he plays for are all wearing Spider-Man shirt. It would have been a really nice addition to this book, and honestly, knowing Claremont, I don't know why he didn't think of this, but if this would have sparked something in his mind about the Spider-Man team-up in Marvel Team-Up 31, you can go check out episode 11 on that. I don't want to spoil anything or how any of that works, but here was an opportunity for him to be like, hey, I've met this guy before. Why does that face so familiar on that shirt? Missed opportunity. As for the monstroid Balox, speaking of Marvel Team-Up, he appeared in number 5 and fought Spider-Man and Vision, and when he was put down, he was taken to a SHIELD facility, so this is almost a continuation of where that character came from. So the fight against it, though, is pretty wild as it's trying to kill Princess Azir. Iron Fist can't stop it. It's killing cops with death rays. It's throwing squad cars. All the bullets are bouncing off of it. This thing just seems unbeatable. And even as Danny manages to rip out one of its eyes, or optical sensors as they're called, it continues to go on its rampage. And it's not until Danny Rand grabs the most brutal of martial arts weapons, a steel pipe. EC dub. He knocks it off its feet and manages to take out the other eye and then smash its face with the iron fist. And this kind of gives us a pretty cool perspective of the iron fist as he rips out both the optical sensors. The monstroid is forced to go to infrared, and we get to see Danny's body heat, and then we get to see the charge of the Iron Fist glow hotter and hotter and hotter until it smashes his face. And the panel where Danny smashes the Monstroid's face is very, very beautifully drawn. It's really, really nice. And this just makes me want an Iron Fist versus Predator book, because I want to see Predator's heat vision through the bio mask. See Danny Rand charge up the Iron Fist. I really want a modern take on that scene. I think that would be really, really cool. An important thing about this comic, though, it's not important to the comic itself, but it's important to the MCU, and I brought this up in my Shang-Chi and the Legends of the Ten Rings review. And I've spoke about this there, and it had me really excited, is this is the debut of Master Khan in this book. Even though he's already showed up in Marvel, this is where he becomes a mainstay villain. And he's actually here in the last few panels, and this was the character I talked about in the review that Winru referred to himself as a past name that he used. He said, "I was known as Master Khan." So that would be really cool if, say, in Shang-Chi Part 2 or whatever they're going to call it, or even in an Iron Fist series, if there is a flashback to a past and previous Iron Fist fighting Winwu with the Ten Rings, and that, I think that would be really cool. And this is what I was referencing on that episode. Winwu calls himself Master Khan, and here we go, Master Khan, a villain in the Marvel Universe that fights Iron Fist, so pretty cool stuff. And welcome back to the Deadly Podcast of Kung Fu with your host, JVD. Let's go ahead and move on to number 25, which is a continuation to this, called The Morning of the Mindstorm. We open up with Iron Fist battling Kambala Bay the Mountain, royal bodyguard of Princess Azir. Danny, saving her, has disgraced the large man who wishes to kill our hero. As Kambala seems that he has the upper hand, the princess appears and orders the fight to cease, threatening to punish her guardian with death if he does not do so. Seeing Danny to Lieutenant Scarf's car, she wishes to meet him again. Without any promises made, he and the lieutenant go to Professor Li Wing's home. Little do they know, they're being watched and followed, which I do not understand how a lieutenant in the NYPD lets a car tell him. Isn't that what cops do, right? They tell people all the time? But anyways, I digress. Danny and Scarf arrive at the professor's residence to find it ransacked as Wing himself wildly attacks with a sword, claiming they are monsters there to take Colleen. After Danny stops him, Scarf places a call to Colleen's apartment and gets no answer. As they rush to her home, they arrive to find Colleen Wing arrested. With there being confusion on who ordered the arrest, Iron Fist picks up on the lies and springs into action, but not fast enough as Colleen is thrown into a car that speeds away. Scarf and Iron Fist give pursuit, but Danny realizes something strange is happening. All of a sudden, a dragon attacks the lieutenant inside the car, causing him to steer out of control and crash. Iron Fist barely manages to get Scarf to safety as a car blows up behind them. As he fights to stay conscious, someone approaches Iron Fist to taunt him as he is transported through limbo and time to that very fateful day in the Himalayas as he was a kid. Confused, Danny sees his smiling father marching through the snow to only greet him with a kick to the face. As Iron Fist defends himself, a drift of snow leaps upon him. Realizing what is happening can't be real, a specter of himself begins to taunt him in the nightmarish reality. As the world around him fades away, Iron Fist discovers a man named Angar the Screamer is the cause of his torment. Rising to defend himself, the villain summons the dragon that assaulted Scarf and sends it after our hero. Fearing no such beast, Danny summons his chi and attacks, striking the dragon only to find out that it is Lieutenant Scarf's burning car. Then from behind the wall comes to life, grabbing Danny in a massive bear hug. As the living wall begins taunting and transforms to Liu Kang the Thunderer, Iron Fist realizes the illusion is actually Kambala the Mountain, Princess Azir's bodyguard. Summoning his chi, Iron Fist strikes both men down and knocks them out. With the illusion vanishing, Danny demands to know where Colleen is being taken, but Scarf stops him from doing anything he'll regret, revealing he has a clue to where she is. In his hand is Angar's ID card for the famous Stark International. Big twist there at the end of this book. This book starts pretty fast and it doesn't stop. It's a fight, story, fight, car chase, fight. I mean, it's pretty fast and it doesn't stop. It's a pretty quick read. And it's a good way to end Iron Fist's run here, Marvel Premiere, before he jumps to his own solo series. To me, the only thing that made the story suffer is the villain at the end, who is Angar the Screamer. He first appeared in Daredevil 100, if you're really wanting that first appearance. And I guarantee that book is not expensive because of him. But first off, he's got this terrible look for the 70s. And I will tell you, I went through these Daredevil issues, like from issues 1 through 10, he's in over half of them. He's like one of the main villains during that little space right there. And even though he looks terrible here, it's better than what he looked like there. And he looks like he came straight out of Woodstock. He's got blue jeans on. He's got a blue jean vest. He wears no shirt. It's got like leather tassels hanging off his boots and hanging off the cuffs on his wrist. He wears a headband that keeps his parted long hair down. I mean, he looks like a total hippie. Terrible looking character, but a little bit of an improvement from that Daredevil appearance. So a little back history on him. Apparently he was created by Moondragon to help her fight Thanos. And I guarantee that never happened, because most likely Thanos would demolish this dude. As for the character, apparently he's made of pure sound and can emit a scream that causes hallucinations, which are based on an individual's subconsciousness. So obviously with the dragon attacking Scarf, it's because he was around Iron Fist, who has a dragon on his chest, and he knows the origin of Iron Fist due to Professor Wing. Most likely Professor Wing was attacked by Angar. It's kind of what you have to assume. And he probably saw the same thing, because Angar uses a dragon to attack Iron Fist. So that's kind of a cool power, I guess. The only thing I'm glad they didn't do, because in the Daredevil book, you get this scream from Angar when things happen. I'm glad that kind of was not here. But yeah, terrible look. Interesting power, though. It's very, I don't know why this guy's not a mutant. Why did he have to be created by Titan technology? Who knows? But up next, we have Kumbala Bay, the mountain. For all we know, as of the time, he has no powers. And his fight with Iron Fist is pretty short. At first, Danny is pulling his punches. Then he gets fed up and lifts the sumo-sized bodyguard, Vega style, from Street Fighter. I love Vega. He's my favorite Street Fighter character. And basically lifts him over his head and slams him to the ground, showing you exactly how strong Iron Fist is. When the princess comes and breaks up the fight, it's kind of funny, because Kumbala has him in this bear hug, and you don't know if Iron Fist can escape or not. And I'm assuming we have seen Shang-Chi escape sumo wrestlers twice, I do believe, now at this point. Pretty sure Iron Fist can do it. And basically after the threat, she lets him go, and you know, she's like, he would have killed you if I wouldn't have stopped him. Iron Fist is like, he could have tried. So I thought that was a nice little quip there from Iron Fist. And actually, it's that moment with the bear hug that tips Iron Fist off that everything's an illusion. Because as the wall comes alive and bear hugs him and turns into Liu Kang the Thunderer, it's the dialogue of Kumbala Bay and the bear hug itself. And Danny's like, this is not how the Thunderer fights. And he realizes that it's Kumbala Bay, and he just kind of cuts loose after then. It breaks the hallucinations brought on by Angar. So that's a nice little throwback there. There's something that's pretty interesting here, and it's time reference. You don't get hardly any time reference anymore in comic books, because, obviously, for instance, Batman's been around for over 80 years, but yet he's probably in his 30s, mid-30s now, with the new 52 Rebirth, whatever that crap is, and he was like 41 pre-Flashpoint, so, you know, comic books tend to stay away from time, but this run here, you can put everything together, and it takes place literally in 51 weeks. Now, let me break this down for you. Here in Marvel Premiere 24 and 25, and these are written by Chris Claremont, so I'm pretty sure he had permission to actually state all this, considering it was passed by editors. Danny references in both issues to arriving in Kung Lun 11 years ago. In Marvel Premiere number 15, during the Challenge of Many, he states he had been in Kung Lun for 10 years at that time, right? And then in issue 16, during the fight with Scythe, he states he fought the Challenge of One and of Many a week's past. So, from the time he arrives in New York until now, has been 51 weeks. Now, He's went through, I guess this would be 11 issues. He's had a Spider-Man team up, and he's had two adventures in Deadly Hands of Kung Fu. So a nice little career for Iron Fist within, you know, a year's time, as we're going to call that. So that's pretty cool that, the first time I've read this entire series, I never picked up on that. I just picked up that today, and maybe it's because I'm doing a podcast, and, you know, you pick up a lot of details of that. But the big thing is Angar's Stark International ID card, which we know will set Iron Fist against Iron Man in his number one issue, which we will dive into the next time we get to Iron Fist here on Deadly Podcast of Kung Fu. And that wraps up Iron Fist's tenure in Marvel Premiere and this episode for Iron Fist and the Deadly Podcast of Kung Fu. You can follow Deadly Podcast of Kung Fu over on Twitter at Deadly Kung Fu Pod. You can follow me, JVD, at Villainsman. You can follow everything Villainsman at TVD Podcast. If you like our music, check out Russian Tiger by Kuro over on SoundCloud. And remember, guys, support your favorite podcast. Support your local comic book shops and keep reading comics, guys.